Not tonight. 3, 2, 1.
Once again.
Let's jam.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now. Because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
And today we'll be talking about 5 board games coming to Kickstarter the week of September 11th.
So thank you guys for joining us yet again. We are pretty excited. We've had a great day today. Today we are actually celebrating Labor Day. I know you did that last week, but we've had a good get together, had some food. It was all tasty stuff. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Yeah, no problem.
And other people.
And Katie.
Oh, yeah, good job. Other people made stuff.
Katie's dish included bacon, which is always amazing.
For the win.
Should I screw you?
That kind of thing. We had a good conversation. That part of the reason we got together was to do some planning for future Tantrum House plans.
Awesomeness.
Wow, yeah, awesomeness. Tantrum House awesomeness.
So some of the things we were talking about were things like kind of just a general view of what the future might hold for us. We have been going in all kinds of different directions and having lots of fun doing it. And honestly, I think we're doing pretty good at it. But we were trying to figure out, do we need to kind of focus in on some things? Are we a board game media company or something else? What do you think?
We are a board game media company. We do things on YouTube, and we're doing our website, and we're expanding into
podcasting.
So we're doing all that, different types of media.
Yeah, some of the cool things we've been doing are for other companies as well, which has been pretty cool. We've worked with some companies that have been bringing their Kickstarters to the platform and helping them, especially with some foreign companies. I know Melissa did some work writing some instruction manuals.
Oh, yes. Yep. And working with companies that English is not their first language, so trying to smooth out some of the terminology.
And Melissa's a perfect person to do that because her full-time job is a writer.
Yes.
Lots of good work there. I've been doing some design work for a campaign right now. I think I'm allowed to say that. Dwarven Smithy is coming to Kickstarter in the next couple weeks, and I've been helping them with their Kickstarter page, working on some motion graphics and different things. They've been really cool to work with, and I think they've got a really good product. They went to Kickstarter once, and I think they didn't really do a super excellent job of showing off how much custom art they have in the game. And so this time around, they're really trying to beef that up and just show off some of the cool cards and things that are in there. So yeah. that's been fun to work on.
Yeah, we'll have a video review of that coming out. And I think next podcast, we'll talk about Dwarven Smithy.
Ooh, all right, excellent. Ryan, what were your takeaways from our 5-year planning meeting? What were some of the things you're excited about?
I might need to get into politics.
Politics, yes. That's where it's at, huh?
Thinking buying the state of Minnesota and setting myself up.
I thought he had this dream he told us about.
Big, hairy, audacious stuff, yes. Right there. That was.
Oh, and during the meeting, I thought it was important to talk about how I dreamt I went to Hogwarts.
Cue that dream music.
And all of the girls got mad at me and turned into dragons.
Oh, nice.
And then I became the headmaster of Hogwarts and had to elect a new chaplain or something.
The chaplain
I elected was Lego Darth Vader.
Wow.
It was pretty great.
How long do you sleep to pull off those dreams? Is that...
Wow.
It only takes a few minutes.
The key is probably that I had pizza 3 nights in a row.
Ooh, that'll do it, I think.
And
pizza dreams.
Pizza dreams.
Did you cast any spells, or did you just, like, manage in politics?
I don't know if there was any really cool spells involved. At one point, I was the size of a table leg.
Oh.
But I don't know if someone turned me into that size or if I did it myself.
Were you like the shape of one? No, that's a strange comparison. I was the exact size.
I was hiding under a short coffee table and trying to negotiate with the head of the dragon girls.
Oh, wow. Small dragon girls?
Later, I know I was jumping up a tiered library. Like, it was open in the center, and I was jumping from bookshelf to bookshelf up the levels.
Wow. Because
at the top level, hidden in this massive book, was a top hat. because it was a carved out book. Oh, and that was the symbol of power that would make me headmaster.
Wow. So I thought you were about to say the monster book of monsters book, but it was really
just a top hat.
I'd like to watch this movie.
I know. And was your name Ryan Pills, or did you have like a cool headmaster
name? I think I might have been somebody else. Okay. I had blonde hair.
Oh, wow.
For some reason. And I think my sidekick was from Attack on Titan.
I feel like there were many other angles in this dream that we're not even made aware of. For the extended edition, tune in to Ryan's Dream Session. We'll be posting that podcast next week.
And back to real life.
So part of that five-year plan was some things like, just what are we going to do with our game nights? What are we going to do with... we've had this idea about doing some like Tantrum Awards.
Yeah.
Maybe like a Tantrum House... yearly award
seal thing. Of approvals on board games.
Yeah.
Or like maybe...
Would you put that on your board game if we gave you a recognized seal?
Yeah, that'd be cool. And what about a board gaming convention?
What? There aren't enough of those. We all agree, right?
And Greenville's a beautiful place.
Greenville would be a perfect place for a board game convention.
We are in the top 10 in the United States for best downtown areas. It's absolutely gorgeous. And we have amazing food. So pairs well with gaming.
Really good Main Street. I mean, I think if we could get a place for a reasonable price and pull it off.
I think we should get some feedback about this.
Yeah.
What about our guild that we should talk about?
Okay, let's talk about that.
I think that we should have people come to our guild on BoardGameGeek.com. Is there like a web address?
A short address that would make it easier to get there?
Yeah.
How about guild.tantrumhouse.com?
guild.tantrumhouse.com.
It'll take you right to the page. You can get on there. Melissa is going to be our new curator. She just got volunteered tonight.
What? Yeah.
A manager of our
the guild master.
Tantrum House guild master.
Can I get that on my business card?
Yeah, a micro badge.
That onto your
yes.
Ooh, micro badges. Yeah, we need to get those too.
Yes.
So many things to talk about in the future.
So come to our guild at guild.tantrumhouse.com and talk to us and engage with us. Specifically, talk to us about, would you come to a board gaming convention in Greenville, South Carolina?
And when would you want this convention?
And what would you want to be there? Like, are there things that you've been missing at other board game conventions that you, like, somebody should do this? We want that idea right now. Write it down. Send it to us. We love you. All right, so let's move to our shout-out. And Melissa.
This episode is sponsored by Caper Games, creators of Get Adler, a guess who type of deduction game.
So we have another sponsor for this episode. We're excited about that. Caper Games has published a cool game that my kids love. Like, they play it more than a lot of other games that we have.
They super love it.
Yeah. The neighbor kids come over regularly. They all sit and play this game.
And so they're giving us a copy of their game, and we'll give you details on how to get a hold of that at the end of the episode. But if you're curious about it, listen to the rest of our episode, then go watch the review that my boys did with me on our YouTube channel, and then enter the contest.
They get a chance to win a game again on our podcast tonight?
They do.
What?
So we're on to the next one. Are you guys ready for that? We've got another giveaway
that
we did last year several weeks ago. I can't ever keep track of time on this
World. When Lucky Duck Games sponsored our podcast.
Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of people enter. And Ryan, how are we going to determine the winner here, Ryan?
I have set up a custom die. Die is the singular of dice. On my phone.
It's a very
one
large
for
die.
Each person who submitted, and we're going to roll the die and see who won.
Is there any cool sound effects?
No.
Oh, I want to hear like...
That was the paid version.
You can make your own sound as he rolls it on his phone.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. All right, give us that number, and we will look at our spreadsheet and determine...
Live on air!
All right, and our winner is...
Mark from Colton, California.
Hey, congratulations, Mark! We will contact Mark by email to let him know what he won. Kevin, what did he win?
What did he win? So he won a copy of the base game of Vikings Gone Wild from Lucky Duck Games.
Hey, very cool, man. So hopefully you're listening right now and you're all excited and you didn't wreck your car when we said your name. And so you could be a winner too next time.
Seatbelt's on.
Yeah, that's right. You should have put your seatbelt on at the intro of our podcast. So it's your own fault if you wrecked. It's terrible. All right, so let's roll it into what we all came here for tonight, the Kickstarter Connection.
Kickstarter Connection!
So Melissa, what's our first game we're talking about?
Cerebria, the inside world. This is from Mindclash Games. They're the company that brought Tricurion and Anachrony, and I love both of those games.
They're so pretty.
Yeah, those both have worker placement in them. Now, Cerebria, which is coming September 12th, is a very different type of game, though. It's a 2-versus-2 area control team game. So I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but basically the idea is that you are in the inside world. Think Inside Out.
I was going to say, this sounds like Inside Out.
Yeah. So you're either...
Is this happy and versus sad?
It's actually bliss and gloom.
Lots of different emotions going on here.
Yeah, bliss and gloom are kind of trying to control this inside world to determine the identity of the person that is going to be, I guess, created in this game. So there's different resources that you're trying to get. There's cards that are double-sided that have different powers. And like I said, it's going to be very different than the other games that Mindclash has done. But they've done great job. So I think that they'll do a great job with the production of it. The art looks cool. It's a very interesting concept that hasn't really been tackled before. So I'm really interested to learn more about Cerebria, the inside world.
I really like the art for Cerebria, but I think it's a totally different, like, world that they're going into. Like, Tricurion's all about, like, magic, and it really feels like that Houdini-type world, and then Anachrony was that, like, futuristic-type world. This one is just, like, really, really different, so I'm not sure, like, I'm still battling in my mind, am I gonna like this game or not?
But, yeah, so you should check it out, especially if you think that the theme is interesting. So I think our next game is going to Katie.
All right. I have Bulletproof coming to Kickstarter September 12th. This is a game all about being a mobster or ruling a criminal empire. You're going to be basically playing as one of these crime lords, and you're going to be trying to control territories. I believe it's going to be like, I think it's like first person to hold like a set of 3 different territory cards or set of territories. This is a card game exclusively from what I can tell, which is kind of interesting. Sounds like something you would expect to have a board element to it. So I was a little bit unsure of how all that's going to work. But it looks like it could be really interesting. It looks like it's going to be a lot of hand management. You're going to have to be backstabbing your fellow players, and you've got like a vault you have to like store actions in because they can be stolen from you. And it sounds like you're going to have to choose between, like, do I play this card for its action? Do I put it in my vault and use it as money? Cool. So there's a lot of, like pros and cons to, like, how am I going to use my resources here?
Does it seem like it's set in, like, a 1970s or 1980s sort of world?
I can't quite tell. The creators of the game said that they used the Grand Theft Auto video games as their inspiration for the theme.
Okay, that's where I saw some of those bold colors and just like the design work sort of did remind me of that.
It does. It has that sort of feel. Like, it has very much what you would expect character art in there. Like, you've got the stereotypical, like, thug, you know, you've got the stereotypical Godfather looking character, you know. So you've got a lot of that, and so I think the art looks pretty interesting. Like, I don't know, it looks like it could be an interesting game. I love a game where you have to choose between two good things as to a way
which
to
the better option,
yeah, which though. One is going to help me out right now. So I think that it sounds like it could be really kind of interesting. So Bulletproof. So Will and Sarah, what have you got for us?
So we're looking at the game News at 11.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
Yeah. Goes back a little ways.
This one goes live on Kickstarter on September 11th. Easy to remember.
we had an opportunity to play this. It's been like a year or so ago, I think.
Yeah. Two origins ago.
Really been?
At least two origins.
Jonathan Gilmore, designer of Dead of Winter and a bunch of other cool games, teamed up with several folks to work on this one. And it's much more, it's like a lighter storytelling party game. And it's pretty cool. Like, the premise for it is just, it's a small box game. It's got a bunch of cards in it. And people get together, and the way they play it is that one person acts as like the lead anchor on a news channel, and they draw a hand of cards that have, like, you know, they're either segment cards or producer cards, and they then pass those out to the people around the table, and they're all working cooperatively to tell this hilarious story about, to do like a live news report, basically, is what it is. So the cards, at least for like the segment, are things like consumer warning or politics or obituaries and things like that, and they pass those out to the players, and then the players have to use some cue cards that they received earlier in the game that have different words on them, and they have to tell that story.
Yeah, and the words were filled out ahead of time and are very similar to Mad Libs, where you may have to put down a fruit, or you may have to have an action verb or some type of word, and then you must use those in your newscast.
And it gets pretty hilarious, because when you know, your word is like, whatever, a fruit, and then your segment line is like the obituaries, like, how do you put those together? Sometimes you end up with really hilarious stuff, and then each round of the game, additional cards get added, and a lot of times you're building on previous stories, but in a whole new segment.
Yeah, so you start off with the morning news and use those words in your segment, and then you move on to the afternoon and then the evening news, where you have to use all of the words previously used, and it
makes for a really good time. We've played this, at least the early prototypes. I don't know if anything has changed in the last couple of years, but we've played this with all kinds of different age groups and had a lot of different, you know, experiences, but a lot of fun, a lot of loudness, a lot of hilarity, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah, and this plays 3 to 6 players, although I think you could probably add in a couple more people.
Yeah, we definitely cheated and played much higher numbers than
that. Yeah, it seems like more of a party-type game than just like a three-player game,
right,
to me.
Yes. Right, I think the more you have, almost, the more fun it is. So, but you can follow their recommendations on 3 to 6. All right, who's up next? Kevin, what do you got?
So I want to talk to you about a game coming to Kickstarter September 13th. It's called Space Editor. It is by Tactical Games.
I've heard of this one.
And in this game, we've actually done a review of it. You can go to our YouTube channel. Soon, it's not live yet, but soon it'll be live, maybe by the time this podcast drops.
Probably.
And you can look at our review, video review of Space Editor. In this game, each player controls one of the elements creating the universe, and they're trying to gain ultimate control, and in so doing, getting the most points. Now, there's, like, different types of cards that each player has based on, like, asymmetrical powers, because they each control a different element. There's, like, fire, and there's wind, and there's earth, and there's water.
That other element.
Melissa was about to say heart, I know.
With our powers combined.
But each set of cards that the players have, they have three main types. They're star cards. Those are going to be the cards that give you the most. They are the point cards. Those are the cards that you're going to place down and want to try to protect as you're creating the universe in the main gameplay area. And everyone's playing in the middle, so you're going to have air and water, because it's a 2-4 player game. So all those cards are sort of like starting to combine together. But the star cards are going to give you the points. There's planet cards. They're going to be your like almost like defense cards or strong cards are going to help defend your star cards. And then you have ability cards, and there's like text on those cards. And they can really like mess with the other players, because it can be like automatically, like if this card gets turned over, then other cards get turned over. And if your card gets turned over and it's got points on it, then at the end of the game, you cannot count those points. Any cards turned over are worthless. So you're looking at the end of the game, once all the players' cards are out, you're looking at who has the most points based on the star cards that you have still face up, and whoever has the most points wins. So I think the art's good on the game. The cards themselves are pretty cool. They're not your regular, like bicycle deck cards. They're more squarish, so it does fit really well in the game as you're building it, so they fit well together. In a almost like a tile laying in a way.
Yeah, with cards, they're kind of big squares. One thing, they have shapes and numbers on them, and that's kind of what determines which cards get flipped.
Yeah.
Those are pretty small, at least in the prototype version that we have. So I kind of wish that was bigger. and they really need to have player aid cards. Yes. So I hope that's part of the campaign.
I agree. Player aid cards. The different shapes that Melissa was talking about, they're different energies as you're creating the universe. So there's like kinetic energy and like different types of energy that sort of can like connect to other cards and make other cards be turned over. Because if I have strong types of energy on one side, then the other cards could not, may not be able to defend as well.
Right. So it's kind of like triangles and rectangles. Some of them can connect to others and, mm-hmm. and things like that. It's just, when we were playing, it's like, okay, which one can I connect? Which? And we had to keep looking back in the rule book. Yeah. So
two to four player games, September 13th. It is Space Editor. Going over to Ryan.
All right. First, I want to give a shout out to a game coming September 12th. It is Human Punishment Social Deduction 2.0. I thought this sounded like a great game. It's like the subplot of my life. Human Punishment Social Deduction. But I want to give it a shout out because on the box it says secret roles, secret teams, secret abilities, betrayal. And I thought that this was a game that Will would really dig.
I feel like that sounds like it's right up his alley. Yeah.
But you're
not talking about this.
No, I'm not talking about it. I'm not going to say anything else about it. The actual game that I want to talk about is called Cheese Quest.
This is Ryan's game.
This is totally Ryan's
Cheese Quest.
This is a quest that he goes on every evening before bed.
Cheese Quest. Exactly. Get some string cheese real quick.
The quest for cheese.
So, this game is also coming September 12th. In it, you are a mouse, and you're trying to collect cheese. The game is set up in a modular board of hex tiles, and the cheese is all on the edges of the board, but you start in a nest in the middle of the board, and you're trying to work through this maze of walls, trying to avoid the cats, and get the two pieces of cheese and bring it back to the nest. But you're using a hand of cards to do this, and so you have to exercise hand management in either trying to progress towards the cheese or try to sabotage the other mice as they go about doing their thing. So I kind of like games where you have to balance, you know, trying to get your objective versus take that on the other players. So I thought that would be a fun game to play. Also, the art on the box and the cards looks really good. Peter Gandia, I don't know how you pronounce his name, but he did the art and he did a really good job. I think this might be one of those hidden gems because there's a little bit of mixed coverage on it. Some places where you look, it's not as filled out as others. They do have some videos already showing gameplay, and they have a website. But if you go to like Board Game Geek, it's not very filled out. Their logo isn't like super appealing, but then when you see the box art and the card art, it looks great. So you have to kind of get past it. I don't know if it's going to get the amount of coverage that the art at least deserves. Also, if you just do a quick Google search for Cheese Quest, there's like three Flash games for Cheese Quest.
That's because cheese is
too popular of a name.
But not the quest for cheese. So, Cheese Quest, the quest for cheese, coming September 12th. Check it out.
I do have to say that I think a game where Ryan wakes up at 3 in the morning and goes to find cheese might be more
interesting. Yeah. Battling whatever is in his dream to find the cheese.
Lego Darth Vader.
All right, so I think that wraps it up for our Kickstarter conniption portion. Let's give them some details on the Get Adler contest. Kevin.
So for you to maybe win a copy of Get Adler, a chance to win, you need to share our podcast all over the place.
Yeah, we like that.
Facebook and Twitter. No, please share and tell people about the podcast. That really does help us. But in order to have a chance to win, send an email to hello@tantrumhouse.com. Give us your name and your address, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a copy of Get Adler by Caper Games.
And we'll announce the winner for that on one of our future episodes, so be sure to tune in for that.
The deadline for sending an email to win is September 17th.
All right, so one other thing to mention to you guys is we have an interview scheduled for our next episode. This is something we're branching out into. We want to try to bring some other people onto the show and tell you about some cool stuff that's coming and just introduce you to some cool folks. Back to you, Kevin. Tell us what we're talking about.
So Kevin, not me, person Kevin,
another Kevin.
Kevin from Game Toppers. He is coming on our podcast, and we're going to interview him about a project. He is launching on Kickstarter in September, and it's called Game Toppers. It's all about toppers for your game table. So Ooh. We'll hear more about that next week.
It sounds cool. I'm curious to talk to him because he actually stole this idea right out of my own brain. However, I'm totally incapable of carpentering. See, I don't even know what the word is.
Carpentry.
Carpentering. Woodworking. Making a table topper. But I love this idea. I think there are a lot of people out there who have, if you don't know what it is, go check it out. But it's like a thing you put on your existing table that turns your table into a gaming table. Yeah. And I love that idea.
Game Toppers is the name of this company.
You've already said too much. We have nothing to hear you.
Ruined. Well, there you go. You'll have to watch our next episode.
That's because they don't have to watch it. That's awesome. Yeah. They can listen instead.
You never have to watch.
Excellent. Just listen. We look the best in stereo. All right. Thank you guys for joining us. Have a great morning, day, night. And we'll see you guys next time around.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!